Again, brethren, I am very happy and privileged to be again in one of my home ecclesias. It's a joy and privilege. I bring you love again from the brethren in France at the convention in Vigy near Metz. They met, as you can see, in the number of probably 100 plus brethren, and it was their wish to convey their Christian love to all of you. You can see some of the faces you probably recognize as they visited and are even related to some of us. I also would like to quote again the scripture. The brethren from both ecclesias in Portland wanted to greet you. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. These are the greetings from the brethren in Portland. And you probably would not forgive me if I didn't show you my dear wife and the rest of the family. They wanted very much to convey their love to you because they left their hearts in Chicago. And even Anya was asking when she can go and visit the friends in Chicago. So they all send their love to you. They are missing you dearly. In the footsteps of Abraham, for Israelites, the beginning of their relationship with the Lord was marked by the life of Abraham, the father of their nation. The Israelites consider Abraham the father of the entire nation and even several nations, along also with Isaac and Jacob. We can find many places within the New Testament where Jews were referring to Abraham as their father. The Gospel of Matthew, as you recall, starts with the lineage of Jesus descending from Abraham. In Matthew, we read about John the Baptist rebuking the Jews that being the children of Abraham requires true faith and fruitage such as was with Abraham. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. When Jesus was arguing with the Jewish leaders, they were continually emphasizing their Abrahamic heritage as they were saying, we be Abraham's seed and we were never in bondage to any man. Later, our Lord Jesus himself acknowledged that fact by saying, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and he saw it and was glad. This belief was based upon the fact that God revealed Himself to the nation of Israel, to Moses, to be the God of Abraham. God said unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, had sent me unto you. So what made Abraham so unusual, so honorable, that God chose to call Abraham his friend? He called them his nation. We can answer this with the quotation from Romans. For the scripture saith, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham's heroic faith and trust in the Lord's promises were praised by the writers of the Old and New Testament, by the apostles, our Lord. The most precious promise of eternal blessing for all the nations of the earth was given to Abraham when God entered into a covenant with him. Before we focus our main topic of this lesson, which is precisely the Abrahamic covenant and two aspects of this promise and covenant, I would like to refresh in our minds some events which occurred prior to the establishment of the covenant with Abraham. So let's look briefly at the events in the life of Abraham. We know that his father Terah lived and worshipped even other gods in Babylonia. Later, we know that he left Ur Chaldean, went to Haran, and he was 75 years old when he was there and dwelt in Haran. Then the Lord said unto him, Get thee out of this country, of thy kindred, and come unto the land which I shall show thee. And he did listen to this call. Later, we know that Abraham took the servant, his wife's servant, Hagar, for his wife. And a year later, he received his first son. We have the birth of Ishmael. 13 years later, the event recorded in Genesis 17:24 was the circumcision which took place in his household. One more year later, when Abraham was 100 years old, we have birth of Isaac. Isaac was 40 when he took his wife and married Rebekah. 20 years later, they received their first son, Jacob. Abraham died when Jacob, his grandson, was 15 years old. As a side note, you recall the scripture from the book of Hebrews when Apostle Paul said that they all sojourned and lived under tents in the Holy Land. We believe that physically it was possible because Abraham and his grandson Jacob lived together during the 15 years. Abraham faithfully obeyed the Lord. He left Ur Chaldean, he left Haran, and went into the promised land. Life of Abraham is filled with events which carry many lessons. Lot, who accompanied Abraham from Ur Chaldean to Haran and to Canaan, the dispute between Abraham's and Lot's shepherds caused Abraham to separate from Lot and his herds. Abraham gave the choice of land to Lot, who decided to abide in Sodom and its vicinity. The land very rich in water and very fertile. This decision turned out to be very unfortunate for Lot and his family. And you recall that at this time Abraham had to rescue Lot after Sodom was invaded by Chedorlaomer and his army. We can admire Abraham for his noble character and willingness to share and help others. Lot had a different character. The appeal of richness was so strong to him that even though it wasn't the best place, he decided to dwell in Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham was very different in that. Although he was very rich, he was continually faithful in all that was given to him by the Lord. In all his dealings with Lot, Abraham portrayed a very noble character, compassionate character, as was appropriate for the Lord's friend. The main focus of our study this morning will be the Abrahamic covenant. More specifically, the two parts of this Abrahamic covenant, also known to us as the covenant of sacrifice and the new covenant. We are all familiar with this scripture, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I would like us, brethren, to pause for a moment and think about this scripture. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The promise is that the blessing will be for Abraham. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. But today we want to focus, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All the families of the earth in this place comes from a Hebrew word which really the earth designates the ground, Adama. And all the families of the ground, we believe, will represent everyone who ever lived, all who came from the ground. You remember, when the Lord created man, the God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, a man became a living soul. That's the same Hebrew word. When the Lord cursed the earth, he used the same word. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. The same idiom used here, we believe, stresses the fact that all will be blessed in the whoever ever lived on earth. So let's consider for a moment the features of this Abrahamic covenant and the blessings for all. I would like to start by considering the question which Brother Russell was asked one day. What is the difference between the Abrahamic covenant, Sarah covenant, and the covenant of sacrifice? And here's what Brother Russell answered to this question. The Abrahamic covenant is the term which is more comprehensive than other terms. The Abrahamic covenant, you remember, declares that all the families of the earth shall be blessed, but that they shall be blessed through the seed of Abraham. Now, there are two features. It implies a blesser, the Abrahamic seed, and also a blessing through that seed to all families of the earth. So, that the Abrahamic promise really covers everything God intends ever to do, both to the new creature on the spirit plane and to the human family on the earthly plane. Did you notice, brethren? Everything God intends to do for the new creatures and for all the families of the earth. And then Brother Russell continues and he talks about the clarification which comes from the book of Galatians. So in our study, we would like to look where in the story of Abraham we can find these two parts. Possibly we may find some suggestions. We would like to stress that we are looking for where in the life of Abraham we can see the traces or maybe the symbols which will teach us how all the families of the earth will be blessed. I would like to suggest today, brethren, that when we think about the Abrahamic covenant, we can possibly think about two parts of this arrangement. One, which I would like to use the term of covenant of sacrifice. I will explain why the term later. It's also known in the Bible as Sarah's covenant. The covenant, I believe, under which the church develops. The heavenly seed promised to the patriarch. And also, I would like to suggest for a moment a term which comes from the story of Abraham, covenant of circumcision, or new covenant, the blessing for mankind, all who ever lived. So I would like with you to walk through the footsteps of Abraham and spend some time looking at those two parts of the arrangement. Well, if you ever studied the covenants or the story of Abraham, you probably thought about this question. where in the Bible can we find the description of the Abrahamic covenant? Is it Genesis chapter 12? Or possibly chapter 15? Another option, maybe chapter 17 or maybe chapter 22nd. I would like to suggest that these are all good terms, good suggestions, but I believe that the Lord God made a promise to Abraham first. This is what we believe was described in chapter 12. It was a unilateral promise. Do this, and I will bless you. Later, in Genesis chapter 15, we have the description of the covenant of sacrifice. Following that, we have the events we mentioned earlier, which is the circumcision which took place in the whole household of Abraham. And finally, when Isaac was already a boy, the Lord gave Abraham the hardest tests of all, and then with his oath confirmed all the promises. So what we would like to do now is to look at the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant of sacrifice, focusing in our minds that possibly chapter 15 represents this covenant of sacrifice, and chapter 17 the covenant of circumcision, or the new covenant under which the entire mankind will receive the blessing. So we'll look at the records from chapter 15 and chapter 17, and we'll consider three aspects of this text there. The parties of the arrangement, or of the covenant. We would like also to look at the signs which were given as the signs or tokens of the covenant, and also the promises the Lord gave and reiterated when he was dealing with Abraham. So let's start with the covenant of sacrifice and the parties of the covenant. Chapter 15. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, "Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." I would like to suggest that chapter 15 really has one hero. It's the Lord dealing with Abraham only. Nothing, no one else is mentioned in chapter 15. God and Abraham, we believe, Abraham representing the church. What is even more, in this chapter 15, for the first time in the Bible, we have the word itself, the word covenant. Nowhere else earlier, not in chapter 12, no anywhere else in the Bible, we find this Hebrew term covenant or berit, which is really the sense of this term is things which are cut, in the sense of cutting the sacrifices as Abraham did. And you remember that the Lord, his presence was visible in this moment as a firing furnace passing between the cut animals. When you look at the chapter 17, Genesis chapter 17, we read there that the Lord said to Abraham, "He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with the money, must needs to be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man, child, whose flesh of the foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He had broken my covenant." I want to stress this fact, that it was to Abraham to go to his households, and Abraham took Ishmael his son and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised them as God had said unto him. And all the men of his house born in the house, bought with the money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. We want to simply emphasize the fact that the covenant with Abraham, through Abraham, came into his household. The house of Abraham, everyone, there was no discrimination. Those who were born, those who were purchased, whoever wanted to live with Abraham and benefit from the blessing, received this circumcision. And also, I want you to notice that there was a danger of death, cutting off from the people. That's chapter 17, we believe, being the picture of the arrangement for the entire human race. So chapter 15, it's Abraham dealing with God, the Lord, arranging this covenant. And chapter 17, Abraham receives the message from the Lord, goes into his households, and performs this covenant. This brings to our mind the scriptures which relate to the new creation. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. We believe that the new way of sacrifice, it's the way which is initiated by the Father. There is no intermediaries, there is no one else. It's the Father and his children, like in this chapter 15. Of his own will beget he, the Father, us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That, we believe, may represent the arrangement with Abraham only. Because the Lord God is the Father of the new creation, and no mediator is necessary. God himself calls and Spirit begets all participants of the covenant of sacrifice, the new creatures. On the other hand, we all know well the scriptures from the book of Acts. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God rise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And then it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. We believe that this corresponds precisely to the act of covenant which was performed by Abraham. Prophet like Moses, performing the work of the mediator between God and his entire household. Disobedient shall be destroyed from among the people, like those who were not circumcised were supposed to be destroyed and cut off the people. So possibly the parties of this arrangement in the Abrahamic covenant and the promise, God with Abraham only, chapter 15, mankind through Abraham, through the church, through our Savior, and the danger of death. Now, let's talk for a moment about the signs of the covenants and the signs which were described in both passages. Chapter 15, the church. And he, Abraham, said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit the earth? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and she goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. We believe that in response to his request of sign, the Lord commanded the sacrifice. And that's possibly why we would suggest that the sign of this part of the Abrahamic covenant is the sacrifice. In chapter 17, the token or the sign of the covenant is clearly stated as well. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. So here again, the sign of the covenant into which the entire household of Abraham entered was the circumcision. Chapter 15, sacrifice. Chapter 17, the circumcision. This brings us to the very famous scripture we know from Psalm 50 and verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Circumcision brings to my mind the words from Romans, where Apostle Paul was talking about a true Jew. And you know that Jew really means someone who is a believer. And in a sense, all people will be Jewish or believers in the kingdom. And Apostle Paul says, excuse me, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praises is not of men, but of God. So possibly, this will be the sign and the token required from everyone, the circumcision of hearts in the kingdom, those who would like to live and would like to avoid being cut off from the people will have to circumcise their hearts, become true believers. Promises of the covenants, as we can find them in chapter 15 and 17. And he brought him forth abroad and said, this is Lord speaking to Abraham, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. This land, in the Hebrew language, it's the Eretz, the land which was created in the beginning. So, we believe that the promise of the seed as stars of heaven, recorded in chapter 15, and the inheritance of the earth, were promised to Abraham, the friend of the Lord. Chapter 17. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee, behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So we believe that chapter 17 promises Abraham to be father of multitudes. You recall that this was the moment when Abraham's name from Abram was changed to Abraham, which means father of multitudes. And again, the inheritance of Canaan was promised, and a great blessing for Isaac and Ishmael. Chapter 15, stars and inheritance of the earth. Chapter 17, father of multitudes, inheritance of Canaan, blessing for Isaac and Ishmael. We believe that this is again referring possibly to what Apostle Paul was treating in his letter to Galatians, If we be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I also think that possibly the blessing, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, was the blessing which was promised to those who would follow Jesus in his footsteps. In chapter 17, this description of multitude of blessings and multiplication, being a father of many, and inheritance of the land of the Canaan, brings to my mind the passage from Hebrews 2 and verse 7, which really describes the perfect man being the king of the earth. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. We believe that mankind will inherit the earth. In a different sense, they will be princes, they will rule on earth as it was promised and given once to the father Adam. So, brethren, we have looked at two aspects. And of course, I am aware that there are many more. But what we wanted to do in this consideration is to stress that what the Lord said once, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed, really contains a blessing for everyone. We wanted to draw a lesson from that promise given to Abraham in the beginning of his life and developed later into a covenant confirmed by an oath. Even more, we see the witness and confirmation of this promise given by Apostle Paul in his later letter to Galatians. In the book of Hebrews, there is this wonderful scripture which I think also refers to the Abrahamic promise and the Abrahamic covenant. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, I would like to suggest that possibly this everlasting covenant is the covenant which the Lord made with Abraham. And the blood of the everlasting covenant is the blood which seals this arrangement. Those of you who have children probably understand how precious children are. The Lord decided to seal this arrangement by the blood of his children, by the blood of his son. This was the arrangement promised long time ago, given to our Lord. And thanks to this arrangement, he was brought back and given the wonderful reward for his faithfulness. We believe this being a wonderful promise. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is the clarification which comes to us from Apostle Paul. Gives us a great joy that the same privilege of suffering and participation in this blood is given to us, who also had made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. All of this just to be a blessing to others, a privilege of serving the Lord and uplifting His most holy name. Brethren, it is wonderful to know that we have this privilege. And when we think about Abraham, about his faithfulness, about how he was dealing with his nephew, about Lot, and about the wars he had to go for, and his faithfulness, and this wonderful covenant the Lord entered with him, and the privilege we have to see this blessing of following in the footsteps of Abraham and our Savior, what comes to my mind are the words of David. What shall I render for all these benefits towards us? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Brethren, there is no better way to show our appreciation for all the wonderful arrangements we have from the Lord than to do this, to call upon the name of the Lord and to give him our lives, because this is the utmost beautiful example of our appreciation. So let us remember the faith of Abraham, faith proven by works and faithfulness even unto this trial of his son. Let us remember the admonitions which Apostle Paul directed towards us, thinking possibly about Abraham. He said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Remember how peacefully he was resolving the conflicts with Lot and with the shepherds and all the things he had to deal with. He followed peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Let us also remember not to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember the story of Abraham, his great hospitality to those he met at his tent. I think it's our privilege to be hospitable in the most natural earthly sense, but also in the spiritual sense, by sharing with our brethren our thoughts and entertaining their problems and difficulties in our lives. Abraham rejoiced to see the day of the Lord. Today, we have the same privilege, brethren. We have the same joy to see the day of the Lord. In this country, we are blessed with the abundance of everything, peace and bread. But we should never forget the lessons from Lot's life and the admonishment from Ezekiel about the iniquity of the sister of Sodoma, where pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her, in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the head of the poor and the needy. So, brethren, according to our Lord's words from John chapter 8 and verse 56, your father rejoiced, Abraham rejoiced, and we have the same privilege now. The ultimate goal of our eternal life, the goal which was set up in front of our Lord, will be also ours if we focus our mind like Abraham on the service unto the Lord. I would like to conclude this remark with these words from the book of Hebrews. Now, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, may you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.